Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the only show that isn't afraid to ask pre-planned softball questions so that there isn't a lot of dead air. Sorry, a lot more dead air. I'm one half of that podcast, a TV writer, the reigning champion of Bubble Pop on the AARP website, and a man who climbs into his attic every few months just to touch old termite droppings and worry. Soren Bowie. And now, for the moment you've all been waiting for, the other, better half of this podcast, bringing the big energy and the fall down funny intro jokes, Daniel O'Brien. Daniel, say hello.
Touching termite
droppings.
Droppings?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Let me sit with that for a little
okay.
bit. Yeah, I think that's pretty sad. I think that's a sad... Why are there... Because they're old. Why don't you just get rid of them?
You don't know. You never know if they're old. So it's constantly falling. With termites, it's constantly falling out of the wood, especially like in attics and stuff. If anybody, you ever had a termite infestation in the house in its entire existence, then there'll still be some up there. So even when it's falling out, new stuff is falling out, it doesn't necessarily mean you have new termites. But every house has had termites at some point in its existence. So I just go up there and I try to figure out if I've got them. And there's no real good way to tell.
Are you more... So, quick question. Are you... what'll send you into a spiral faster? And I ask this knowing your history. Sites, proof of bed bugs or proof of termites?
Oh, bed bugs for sure.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Bed bugs is terrifying. That's... Because that means you got to, like, up... There's a ticking clock on that. And with termites, it's like everybody gets them eventually. You can tent, you can do spot treatment. There's like easy, you don't have to remove all of your furniture from the house, open up all of your outlets and either bake the house or do some other treatment like you would with bed bugs. Bed bugs are a nightmare.
I've never had either. I've never, as far as I know, I didn't have termites in the house growing up or if we did, I was kept in the dark on that. And I've never had bed bugs, knock on wood. I'm sure I'm due. It seems like an absolute nightmare.
It was...
My thing is still ants. I'm still...
Yeah.
If I this house I was staying in New Jersey for a while, towards the end of my stay there, because it was turning from winter to spring, the ants start to come into the house, and I was on a ground floor that was also like vaguely basement floor around a corner. So like prime ant territory. And it was never as bad as it got in LA where ants are terrible, but it was still like, I saw a few and alerted everyone I knew. I was like, there are more ants again. And all of my friends were like, yeah, it's the time of year. It's the time of year. Like you're going to get ants are going to show up. And it's what happens. And I just thought, this is not the audience for my madness.
These people aren't going to enable
these people
me.
They don't recognize the ant threat.
Yeah, we had bed bugs in our apartment like 10 years ago, something like that. And it was so awful. And you're in denial for a lot of it. And if it would have just been me, it would have gone on forever because I don't get little bites or anything like that. I don't itch. I don't have any sort of reaction to them. So I would have been living with bed bugs forever and not even known I had them. But you do see signs of them around your house. You see like down the baseboards or on your sheets, little smears.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's awful. It's awful. We had to move all of our stuff into a kitchen, all of our furniture into a kitchen, to open up all the outlets, open up everything on the house that was possible. And they came and sprayed and then they baked the house. Well, apartment. Don't get them.
No, I won't. Thanks to Raycon for supporting Quick Question. Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. Raycon's offering you 15% off your entire order, and here's what you've got to do to get it. Go to buyraycon.com/QQ.
Thanks to Hawthorne for supporting Quick Question. Hawthorne is a premium tailored personal care brand that's making it easy for guys to feel and smell their best. Take Hawthorne's quiz today and get started on your personalized self-care routine at hawthorne.co. And use promo code QQ to get 10% off your first purchase.
Should we get into the show where we ask each other questions?
Nah, about stuff? Let's do other stuff. Let's do some fun other things.
Okay. I'm sorry. I have a guess for the birthday present that you were going to give me in 2017.
What if? Okay. if you're right, what's it going to do? I mean, are you still going to be excited when you get it? Do you still want it?
Well, I don't know if I have an exact guess. Okay. Can I say a couple of things that will drive our audience crazy because it will only infuriate them?
Yes, please.
Because it's just adding more mystery.
Sure.
The person that you commissioned to make this thing, do I know this person?
Yes, you're aware of them.
Okay. Has this person recently contacted you regarding a question that I asked this person?
No.
Oh, okay. Man, I put together a whole like wall of string connecting ideas because I asked a mutual friend of ours to make a custom thing for me that I was going to give as a fun like party gift to a bunch of the people that I grew up with, like a shared present that we would all have. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this will be fun. It'll be very specific to our group. And like off the top of my, I didn't have a price in mind for what this thing was, but it was like just a cute little thing that my friends would get a real kick out of. And I reached out to this person and I was like, make me this thing. I'll tell you all the details for how I want you to make it. Can you do that? And he said, yes, for $2,800. And I was like, I think that is too much money to spend on a fun gift for a friend. I also think, and here's where like my brain went immediately, because I never stopped thinking that I'm the main character. I thought the thing that I want to get is very similar to the thing that Soren is getting me. And so this person, after I contacted them, was like, Soren, I think Daniel's onto us. He wants a similar present. What do I do? And you came up with the number $2,800 because that is just about the exact right amount that will scare me off doing this thing, because it worked. Even if it was like half that, which is still expensive, yeah. I would like spend $1,400 on a gift for my friends. And if they were like, how much did you spend? I'd be like, ah, nothing. I'll never tell. But if it was $2,800, they'd be like, oh, this is fun. I'd be like, yeah, it was $2,800.
I spent almost $3,000 on all of you.
Yeah. And then they'd be mad at me, and they'd be right to be mad at me.
Yeah. It turns out that like custom commissions of anything are pretty expensive.
Yeah. And ooh, I'm trying to get custom furniture. Maybe I should go to you if you would be cheaper.
Is this serious?
Yeah, this is serious. I'm trying to, I want, two, Jesus Christ. Why didn't I go to you first? It's two, like 20 inch wide bookcases with the shelf, like four shelves, and they're connected with, you're gonna be mad at me, like plumbing
gas pipe. Yeah.
Gas you want pipe. That's the one. The stuff that you make.
Right. You want the black piping, right?
Yep.
Do you want it painted black, or do you just want it to look industrial and like its natural color?
I want
color?
It to look industrial.
Like gunmetal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I could make that for you.
All right.
I want to ask one more question, and you can tell me the answer or not. And I won't say anything afterwards. I'll just like keep my mouth shut so you won't know if you're even within the right ballpark. Can you say the name of the person you're asking to customize something for you?
Yes. Do you want me to say the name of the
yes.
person? Randall.
This is great. It's not Randall. This is so good.
I was so excited, A, because I thought I solved the mystery, and no, just that. I was just excited because I thought I solved the mystery, because I thought, why would it be $2,800? And I saw the whole scene of him reaching out to you and being like, he's on to a sword, what do I do? And you were like, tell him $2,800. Like, I saw you rubbing your hands together and knowing the exact amount of money that would be too much,
and would
the
just
right
be
amount
ruining,
to send me away.
Ruining something for you. So that I could give you this gift in 2027 or whenever you fucking
yes,
get it.
Correct.
No, that's not what's happening. Although, God, that's a perfect guess, because Randall is somebody who I think would do something really cool and somebody who would take years to do it.
Absolutely. And like, and no matter no matter what I said previously, He's worth every penny. I'm not going to spend $2,800. That's absurd. But go to him for all of your custom needs. He's great and a good guy.
He's made some really cool things for me in the past. He made me an action figure that I just adore. Yeah. He made me, for a birthday once, he gave me like what's it called when somebody's possessed? Exorcism, but like a little box full of exorcism stuff that's like all custom made and very cool and neat. He's great.
Yeah, great guy, fantastic artist. Apparently, I forget where he's from, but apparently they don't have buddy prices.
He's from the valley.
I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm always looking at a screen, now more than ever. And whether you're an avid news watcher or in serious need of a distraction, unplugging yourself is easier said than done. One of my favorite ways to rest my mighty eyes and still get the content I'm itching for is by putting in my Raycon wireless earbuds and listening to something great! That's why we've teamed up with Raycon and recommended their wireless earbuds. You'll get 15% off your entire Raycon order at buyraycon.com/QQ. Oh, everyone knows that I am famously anti-wire in this world. And what I love about Raycon is they're completely wireless. There's no dangling wires, no stems even to get in your way. Raycons come in a range of stylish colorways, but always with a comfortable in-ear fit for a more discreet look. So I'm listening to podcasts or I'm listening to audiobooks and no one knows. Raycons are built to perform anywhere at any time with water and sweat resistant construction and Bluetooth that pairs quickly and seamlessly. And the best part? Raycon makes great sound accessible to everyone with wireless earbuds starting at half the price of other premium audio brands. Listeners of the podcast know that I've been running a whole lot more, and I use my Raycon earbuds whenever I'm running, and they're great for that. I've used other earbuds in the past, and they're really bad when you get a bunch of sweat buildup, as happens when you run, because I'm so fast, but Raycons are great. I love listening to my special running mix through my Raycon earbuds as I'm running. It makes me faster, and I look cooler when I do it, and I'm gonna win the race and get the girl. Raycon is offering 15% off all their products for my listeners, not Soren's, just mine. We're working on getting some for his, but these are just for my listeners. And here's what you do. Go to buyraycon.com/QQ. That's it. You'll get 15% off your entire Raycon order. So feel free to grab a pair and a spare. That's 15% off at buyraycon.com/QQ. Buyraycon.com/QQ. Hey, I have a quick question for you,
sure,
Soren.
Go ahead.
It's actually this question is more of a comment.
Yeah, you know, these are great because I don't have to do anything and you just go.
The comment is more of a story. So I took Jackson, my dog, on a nature walk in Williamsburg, Virginia. It was like an hour, not an hour, like a mile loop in nature. And I took him off the leash. He's very well trained. I don't know why I'm explaining myself to people who are going to complain in the comments of this. I'm not listening to you. I took him off the leash because it's what I did. And we're wandering around in the woods, and I had to pee, so I went to go pee on a tree, and I took a while to find the right tree, and then I was trying to like maneuver myself around what's the best spot on this tree so that if anyone is coming from any direction, I have the best shot at protection, yeah, and not ruining anyone's day. And all that is to say that I was just like very dumbly shuffling around this tree for a while with Jackson a few feet away. We're both off the trail and he's off the leash again. And my mind is very focused on finding a comfortable spot to pee. And then I see a 3-foot-long black snake slither away in the leaves. And listeners, I did not handle it well. I did a little yelp.
Yeah.
And I turned and yelled to Jackson, but I didn't turn and yell to him like, get out of here, there's a snake. I'm protecting you as you expect me to do. I turned to him like a peer and I was like, Jackson, what do we do? And he didn't notice the snake, which is good because he would have freaked like me. And I ran the two of us back to the actual trail part of the trail. Not that I needed to go anywhere because the snake was clearly the adult in the situation who was like, I'm just going to get out of here. And I like clutched Jackson on the trail and laughed for a while, but was really disappointed in how how my instincts went in that situation. Because like, it could have gone real bad. The snake could have bit me. The snake could have bit Jackson. And I was not... The reason I talked about taking so much time to find a preferable spot on the tree is I really want to drive the point home that I'm shuffling aimlessly and making sudden and erratic movements. I'm really just like darting around this tree quickly in a scary and unpredictable manner. I could have very easily startled a snake, and the snake could have reacted as his nature intended him to do. I was very lucky that the snake was like, this guy's going through something, I'm out of here, because I was not looking for snakes. I was not prepared to handle a snake, and you know, it's a mile loop, so no one was gonna die or anything. I could scream, or I could, if one of us got bit, travel in one direction or the other. Black snakes aren't horribly poisonous or anything like that, but these are things that I comfort myself with after the fact. I didn't do this kind of safety math when I saw the snake. I saw the snake and asked my dog for help. And I was very disappointed because instincts are something that I really rely on not having to train for. I've always been pleasantly surprised by my instincts in the past. When a car ran a light and hit me, my brain turned off and I jumped in the air and like absorbed the hit in the best possible place that you're supposed to absorb a hit when a car hits you. And I was like, oh good, I'm glad like whatever part of my brain that's in charge of that took over. It seems like that guy's really on the ball. And then this snake shit happened, and it was just me at the wheel.
It could have been worse. You could have just forgot you had a dog in that moment and ran away. Which I think...
Leaving the dog?
Yeah. Just like...
Okay.
The self-preservation part of you in fight or flight just forgets that you even have something else that you're responsible for, and you ran. You didn't do that. You grabbed your dog. I think that that's...
And stood there. I grabbed him and stood there.
Got him off the ground. Away from the snake. I think that that's heroic, Dan.
I think the snake was kind of on its way at that point.
Okay. I've looked it up, by the way. There's only two species of all black snake in Virginia. And one is the northern black racer, and the other one is the eastern rat snake. They both look very menacing, to your credit. Neither one is venomous. Thank you.
Yeah. It really sucks to see what I am in the moment, to learn that... that I ask my dog, what do we do? And like, I meant it. That's what happens when the pure animal instincts kick in. I turn and I recognize the real alpha.
Yeah.
And I'm like, boss, what's next?
You were collaborating. You were giving him some input on the situation as well. You weren't trying to take over. You got your dog to safety first. And then you said, well, now what do we do? I don't know, Dan. I don't think you're a coward in this circumstance.
I don't think I'm a coward either. I just think that like I'm not the guy you want leading your band when the
snakes come out.
When it's apocalypse times let's not even wait for the apocalypse. Normal nature. You don't want me in charge in the woods.
Okay. I had a very similar experience.
All right.
Where we were hiking in Colorado and we're hiking at like 7,000 feet. There are no rattlesnakes that high, but I've hiked in LA before and encountered rattlesnakes, and I was with my brother and his wife and my wife, and then at the time each one of us had a child, and I saw something that looked like a rattlesnake crossing the path, and I said, freeze, out loud, and everyone did. No one was like, what? Everyone stopped, and it turned out to be just like a bull snake, but we just let this thing pass. And it was huge, and it was very scary looking at the time. And I was so impressed that everyone was just like willing to take orders like that. Even the kids. I said, freeze. And everyone was like, yeah, okay. What's up?
Man. And it was like I'd heard freeze, because that's what I did in the moment. Stood there and hoped the snake decided that I was a waste of time.
So is your question, have I reacted poorly in the heat of the moment?
Yeah, have you just been disappointed or surprised by your instincts, the part of your brain that you can't control, that you haven't like trained for?
Yes, I do this thing occasionally, maybe like once every other month, where I'm in a dream and something terrible is happening in the dream and I need to scream and I can't because I'm so scared. And then I'm like trying to calm myself down enough to make a noise. And in doing so, I make a noise in real life. I make like a little whimpering noise, or I say something in real life that my wife then hears. I may have talked about this on the podcast before, but it's, I was having a dream where something, it was like zombie-ish, something bad was happening, and my son was there, and we were walking, and he was grabbed into some darkness. And I was so scared that I ran away, and in the dream was so scared that I was shouting, and in the dream, I was so scared that one of my testicles went up inside of me. And so I was trying to make noise and shout for help from anybody and running the opposite direction, not like jumping into the darkness to get him. So feeling very cowardly in the dream and screaming and then whimpering out loud. And my wife being like, "Are you okay? Are you okay? It's a dream." And me waking up in whimpers saying, "Ronan's gone and my testicle is inside of me." And then her saying, "You're dreaming, I think."
That's such a stressful, I imagine that anything related to children is the most terrifying, tragic nightmare to have at all. But adding the testicle thing is also like, even in dreamland, eventually you'll run into other people and they'll be like, "Where's Ronan?" And be like, "He's gone, but there's this other pressing matter that I think we might be able to reverse. The Ronan thing, we got to move past that.
Put a pin in that.
I'm focused on this right now."
I have another problem that I want to bring up.
Once we fix that, then I'll be able to think straight and we can get back to this Ronan issue. We'll circle back.
The nice thing is that when you're cowardly in your dreams, generally, they stay there. The cowardice stays there. But in my particular circumstance, it doesn't always. I say things out loud and then now it exists in the world too. And I don't get to have that just like privacy of, okay, well, that was just a dream. It's fine. I was awful in the dream, but it's okay. No, all this is said out loud now. And so then I have to explain to my wife what the dream was. I have to tell her what I did. And she goes, you ran away?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I thought she would give you the benefit of the doubt and just be like, well, yeah, a dream is the only place where you would run and leave him. That feeling has to live somewhere and it lives in a fantasy land. But she is interrogating you, assuming that this is a trial run for how you would actually behave if your son was swallowed by darkness.
Yeah. It kind of felt like that. It feels like dreams do that. Dreams are like, "Oh, you know what you're not prepared for is this. We got to work on that." And they'll just like give you a thing for you. Yeah. And like, let's see how you deal with this scenario. And when you see how you actually would in the dream, it's like there's a lot of humiliation that goes along with that because you don't generally handle things very well in the dream.
No.
I'm not a hero in my dreams.
No, I am often crashing a car. And even if I have frequent dreams of a lot of people have these where you're like on a road that gets steeper or more narrow or twistier, just some way where you're driving a car and you're not completely in control of the car and you're just like doing your best. Yeah. It's like, you know, I'm creative all day. So like when I'm sleeping, my brain's not going to like really reach for metaphors. It's going to be like, this is a stress dream, you idiot. This is a stress dream about control. Ta-da, look, there's a dragon in it. Now does it feel more like a dream? All right, good. So I have a lot of those dreams and like either the car comes very close to crashing or it doesn't and I am maintaining it, but there are other passengers in the car criticizing how I'm not maintaining it well enough. And that's the most frustrating dream to have, where it was like, at least if I'd crash it, I could feel what crashing a car is like. But now I'm just getting like nagged by strangers.
I wonder what that's all about. You have other people who are there telling you how bad you're doing, even though you know you're doing badly?
Yes.
Oh, that's rough, man. Sorry. Hawthorne is a premium tailored personal care brand that's making it easy for guys to feel and smell their best. Listen, if you're looking to take your self-care routine to the next level, you're like, I don't really know what to do next. I have shampoo. I have a toothbrush. What else does a guy need? Hawthorne can help you. They have the high-quality products tailored specifically for your needs. They give you free shipping on your order. And if you decide, I don't really like this stuff, I don't think I want to use it anymore, then that's fine. They've got free shipping on the return as well, and they'll give you a new suggestion based on your feedback. With the high-quality self-care products tailored specifically to your needs from Hawthorne, looking your best has never, ever been easier. The way that they do it is they give you a quiz at the beginning. The quiz will ask you questions, and I got to answer all of these. They'll say things like, what type of skin do you have? Very dry. What's your hair like? Thinning, thank you for asking. And then they take all these answers and they plug it into their generator and they say, this is the best product for you. This is the shampoo you should be using. This is the lotion you should be using. This is the body wash that's best for your skin. It's very easy and it's quick. And if you answer, once you answer all these questions, they'll give you an essential bundle that you can choose from. You can either pick individual products from it, or you could just buy the entire essential bundle and basically just upgrade your entire self-care routine. Take Hawthorne's quiz today and get started on your personalized self-care routine by going to hawthorne.co and using promo code QQ to get 10% off your first purchase. That's HAWTHORNE.co. Promo code QQ. Daniel.
Yeah.
Quick question.
Go.
You and I aren't what you would call weed smokers.
Absolutely not.
That's not really our bag. I want to tell you a quick story, though.
Okay.
And I want to tell you if this is... I want you to tell me if this is cool or if this is really just sort of sad.
All right.
When I finished breaking my last episode of our show, I do this thing where whoever the EP was, the executive producer who helped break the story, I'll get them a little something. Like, I'll get them some whiskey or something like that just to say, thank you for ushering the story through and helping me. And I did that, and I have somebody who I work with who enjoys marijuana. And so I was like, I know that I can get that now because I live in California. I'll go to MedMen and pick something out nice. Mm-hmm. And I did that. And in picking out this stuff,
MedMen is a chain of legal marijuana stores in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's a cannabis dispensary that looks like an Apple store. It's like everything's in a museum. There's glass cases of gummies everywhere, and you get to point to what you want, and they collect it for you. So they have this drink called Can, which is a seltzer that's infused with cannabis.
And it's Can because cannabis.
Right.
Jeez. All right. This is like a brief sidebar tangent, but one of the main reasons I don't think I could ever be a weed person is they're from jump insufferably into their stupid cutesy fucking names.
Yeah.
It's so lame. It's so embarrassing to hear anyone list off weed product names. It's just disgusting.
It must have just eaten them up inside that they couldn't call it a bud. It just like drove them crazy. There's a drink called Can. I bought this stuff for him, and I was like, what's the... There's like singular cans, too. And here's, if you want to know, the taller ones, Dan, the tall cans. Do you want to take a guess at what they're called? Not tall boys. High boys.
Oh. Eat my fucking ass, losers. Jesus.
So,
I can't believe we put nerds in charge of drugs. That sucks. That's so dumb.
I was like, well, how are those? And the woman was like, I haven't actually tried them yet. I was thinking about like saving one for a day where I don't have work the next day. And I was like, I don't know what that means. And I bought one impulsively. I bought this tall boy of a cannabis drink. And I was
like, for you?
Yeah, for me. And I was like,
you're the tall boy in the thing.
I was like, at some point, I'm just going to have a day and I'm going to drink this. And then I waited and waited and waited. And I knew that it was in the back of my pantry. I wasn't really thinking about it much, but then all of a sudden a day arrived that like really presented itself as you've got nothing to do today. Your son is at school. Your daughter's with a nanny. Like you don't have the responsibilities. You're not working today. What if you just went and drank it somewhere? And so I don't have a lot of places I can go to go drink it. Like I can't drink that in a park, I don't think. I don't know. And so I went up to the cemetery and
oh my God.
Found a tree under a I was like nice shade under a tree in a section that I'll get to later. And I just sat there up on this hill and drank this thing by myself. Now, I don't even drink alone. Like, as far as alcohol goes, I will drink it, but I do it in social occasions. I have some in my house that's been there for over a year because of quarantine. There's nobody to drink with. My wife and I just don't do it unless there's a party. And so I just don't use anything alone. And here I am sitting in a cemetery, hiding away in a cemetery like a ninth grader, trying to hide my drink in my backpack so that nobody sees it. And chugging this high boy.
Can I ask, did you tell your wife, hey, I'm gonna go and do this very strange thing in this very specific place. So if you can't find me, I'm here. Like, did you prep her to let you know, like, hey, I'm gonna do some mind altering thing?
No.
In a second. Or this is 127 hours, you're just sneaking out.
Had my arm gotten pinned up there, I would have had to cut it off.
Yeah.
No, I didn't prep her at all for what I was about to do. Because I had some other errands that I wanted to run too. So I was like, I got my bike today. I'm going to go do these things. I will go up on this hill and then I'll just like let it wash over me. So I went and sat up there, drank this thing. And then just like, because I had some time to kill where I was just waiting for this thing to hit me and see what it was like, I started looking around at the graves. Now, the way the graves are in Los Angeles, I'm not sure if this is true everywhere. They're just plaques in the ground. It's not like big tombstones that stick up. Or like, you know, not like a mausoleum type stuff where there's big marble coffins above the ground. This is everything from a distance. This just looks like a big rolling grass hill. And then as you walk over it, you see all the little plaques in the ground. So I start kind of just like looking at them because they're there. And I realize that I'm in the kids section.
I'm sorry. That's not an organizational structure that I understood cemeteries to have.
Yeah, well, it is. There's a place where you can, sometimes a cemetery will carve out, like you'll see like a little gated area within a cemetery, and a lot of times that's for children. There's also, in this particular one, it was a grass plot that wasn't as big as some of the other ones, and so you can fit more plots within that area because I don't know if they're newborns or what it was. Jesus. So also the plaques are smaller. So I realize that I'm there and I'm feeling pretty bummed out about that and decides I need to get away from this. And so I left and biked around for a little while. And I don't recommend it. I don't know. I don't think it was like a pleasurable high. I didn't feel like, you know, the way you drink at a work event and then you leave and you're like, I could do anything. Yeah. The world is my oyster. I didn't feel that way. I was just like very cloudy. I couldn't remember the things I had already done. Like at one point I was like going to go cash a check and then I started looking for it and I realized that I'd already done it. And oof. I was like, didn't feel great. Didn't have any new ideas. There was nothing I gained from the experience. And I left it feeling just very, very miserable. I don't really have a question for you regarding that, Dan, other than, no, am I all right?
I think you're right. That's a fascinating story. And I think, like, even the cemetery thing, I think I will play up my reaction on the podcast when you tell me that and say things like Jesus. But I understand there's like there's a romantic beauty and certainly a peacefulness to cemeteries. And there's like a connection to a larger world doing that. So I don't actually think that's a silly or sad or even macabre thing to do. I think that as a choice makes sense to me. again, I don't really know what like what weed brain does, especially high boy brain does. The impulse to read the plaques is a strange one to me. I feel like some part of my brain would kick in and be like, I'm gonna stop you from doing that because there's no like best case scenario, you're not in the kids section. And that's not great.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like they don't separate like, and here's the people that we're glad are dead. There's not one of those. You're not gonna stumble onto that in a cemetery. So I would, hopefully my brain would stop me before I start reading the dates on the little plaques.
Yeah, so here, the weird thing about those, the kids' dates, I shouldn't say kids. I think it's babies, honestly, because they don't put a this date to this date. There's just a date on there.
Oh,
and then there's like a lot of text of like, you're with the angels now, like that kind of stuff. And that's what made me realize where I was. But I always think like I'm bigger than that, that even when I'm high or I go on some adventure and they're like, hey, listen, when you're bungee jumping, like you're going to want to do this and this and this. I'm like, yeah, but not me. Like I'm different. I can handle it. And so I think I can hack everything and saw that and was like this. I wasn't prepared for that.
Yeah.
But it also wasn't, I mean, it didn't haunt me or anything. I was just like, this was a dumb thing to do.
Yeah.
I need to leave. This was a bad idea. And then just like it didn't, I don't know that it set the pace for everything else, but it was just like a shitty high and I don't like it.
I do think there is something, and there's probably a question in here or we just keep talking about it, but like there's something in your initial decision to like, I'm gonna get myself a new treat. That is very familiar to me. And as a person who does drugs, and I can't remember if we talked about this on the podcast, or as a person who does drugs, as a person who doesn't do drugs, and as a person who doesn't drink anymore, I'm looking for like, what's an adult treat? What's a thing I can do that is like party time? And there are very limited options. I've brainwashed myself into thinking it's running, which is a nice little trick. But really, I get that impulse of like, I handed in a script a couple of weeks ago, right before we recorded. And I thought, okay, I did this thing. And now, and now someone should have made a new movie for me to watch.
Yeah.
Because I deserve a nice thing now. And there are very, very few options of just like, I'm going to really treat myself. The gross way that I do it is, I'm lactose intolerant. So if I want to give myself a real treat in the moment, then I'm going to make something with a lot of cheese in it. If I have like two subsequent days where I don't have to go anywhere or do anything or be responsible for work, where it's like where I'm allowed to just be near a toilet for 48 hours. And it's like, look, I just handed in a work assignment and I'm making stuffed shells, you fucks. And that's just what's going to happen. And I know that what I'm doing is poisoning myself, but it's not the kind of poison that kills me. And I know what the consequences are. And that's, I'm going to deal with it. I've signed the contract. I know what I'm getting into. Just let me do it. Let me enjoy 25 minutes of eating cheese and then 2 days of misery.
I don't think that's different, that much different than like drinking. Like that's the plan, right? You're like, I finished something. I deserve a treat. I'm going to drink and I'm just going to sacrifice tomorrow. Forget it. Like tomorrow's a write-off. So I think that's a pretty normal impulse. And I feel the same thing. My treats generally for myself though are really benign. And they're like, yeah, I know this sandwich shop that I really like. I'm going to drive all the way there. I'm going to get my sandwich. I'm going to get a little Dr. Pepper along with it. I'm going to get chips. It's going to be great. But I was feeling like I haven't treated myself in like a reckless way in a long time. Yeah. And there was something so exciting about the prospect of that. And that it was just sitting there right in front of me. Like I could just buy this thing. At some point I'll have a day and it will be my day. And like, that will be so much fun. And it was just such a letdown.
That's a bummer. Did you, Is your wife finding out about this via this podcast, or did you tell her about your weird, sad day?
No, I told her about it.
Okay, how did that go?
She was like, okay.
Are you going to do this again?
Yeah. So the weird thing about being in a writing job is that you have a hiatus. And sometimes you even get towards like the end of your season and you don't have work every single day during that time. Now, that's not something that like somebody else in your significant other wants to hear about every single day. Like I'm not, tell her I have the day off, she's like, all right, well, there's like 1,000 things that we need to do with the house. Are you going to do those things? And I'm like, oh no, it's my day off. Yeah. And also it's if she's working and I'm like sitting around not doing anything, like that doesn't feel very good to her. So I was like, I'm not like, why would I rub it in her face that I'm going to go do this thing right now? I'll just tell her afterwards. And I did. And she still had kind of the same reaction, which was like, there were so many more productive things you could have been doing. And she's right. There was a lot more I could have been doing, but I really tried to cram everything into that morning so that I was like, I'll have a free afternoon.
Yeah.
And I did, and I burned it, and it wasn't worth it.
Huh.
Well,
I think that
can be the end of our show here, Dan.
Okay, yeah. I wonder if that feels like a downer. If there's anything fun to say. I don't really think so.
I'm trying to think of anything else that I've done. No. The wagon. The wagon's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we can wrap up the show here.
Okay. Great talking to you as always.
No, hold on a second. There's one more little, there's like some logistic stuff we have to do. We do these things where I say like where you can find us on Twitter and everything like that. I'm one of those people that my Gmail is just like, when you look at it on my phone, it says 16,000 unopened. And I know that I sent this to myself and then didn't open it so that I'd recognize where it was. So I'm going to need a couple of minutes to find it. In the meantime, maybe you could just fill some time.
Sure.
I know that you wintered at the shore over the past month, you famously.
3 months.
The past 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I know you were nervous about making friends. And I wanted to give you a chance to talk about any new friendships or relationships or persons that you may have met down there and the relationship blossomed and you can, how you intend to like nurture that relationship once you're back in the big city.
I made one friend. I mean, he's not even a friend. I am so excited about the way this went because I got to be mysterious for the first time in my life. And I'm never mysterious. There's a coffee shop that I went to frequently. They had like an outdoor area and I would get coffee from there every day and sometimes I would sit down outside and there was another regular and he knew everyone in the whole town. He was a youngish guy, somewhere in his 20s, and he knew every single person and was always chatting. Like his thing was to come to this coffee shop and chat to everyone. I don't know what else he was supposed to do with his day or his life, but that's what he did with his time, was chat to everyone and know everyone's stories and like tell other guests the stories from the guests that had already left. He was just like the town information hub. And I've been there. I've been coming to this coffee shop for like 2.5 months. And I was always guy on computer who didn't talk to anyone and minded his business. And then one day this guy finally worked up the courage to talk to me. He knew my name was Daniel because you say your name when you order a drink and they say your name when it's ready. And he was like, Daniel, good morning. I don't know anything about you. And I said, that's interesting. And I felt so cool saying that because that's such a weird fucking answer. I wasn't giving him shit. I wasn't going to tell him. I knew that he said that as a way for me to open up and say like, okay, well, yeah, I'm new in town. I'm here for a few months, whatever my story is. But I said, that's interesting because I wanted him to sit with the fact that he just said, I don't know anything about you to a stranger. I want you to think about how weird that is, fella. And then he did for a while. And then he was like, what are you doing here? And then I was like, I'm a writer. So I did fill him in on my stuff. But like, I didn't want to... I temporarily suspended the social grace. I didn't do what I was supposed to do in that situation because I wanted him to think about his words. And I did that, and it felt cool. His name is Brandon. He does something with computers. I don't know.
On Twitter, you can follow Daniel at DOB underscore Inc. or me, Soren Bowie, at Soren underscore LTD. You can go find our CFO, Bacon, at Make Me Bacon Please on Twitter. That's PLS. Or you can follow Quick Question at QQ underscore Soren and Dan. We have an email, QQ with Soren and Daniel at gmail.com. And you can follow, find, hire our producer, sound engineer, editor, Gabe Harder at GabeHarder.com someday in the future.
Do you think it's clear that I said that's interesting in like an intriguing, fun way? I didn't say it in a like, I'm not a dick in this situation. I mean, I am, but I'm not in like a like cool story, bro. I didn't say it like that. I said it in a in like I'm kind of an alien kind of way. Did that come across, do you think?
To the guy?
To our listeners. I don't give a shit about this guy.
Yeah, I think you're fine.
All right, good. Bye.
All right, bye.